metaphysical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Happy Monday. You're listening to Metaphysical Conversations with Carolyn and Jay. And we are on Monday, March 4th. And it is the bottom of the ninth week out of 52 weeks in 2024. So good morning. Hope you guys are doing good. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, good. Looking forward to today's show.
Me too. Me too. I can't believe it's already Monday morning. Oh my God.
The bottom of the ninth week. It's incredible. Zoom. This is like Zoom energy. So,
seriously.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about, working toward, or beginning or adding to our spiritual practice. So, Jay and I have a few ideas to, give us credit for actually following through with some of these things as a spiritual practice that we'll be talking about. Some of them we don't even realize that we've actually got a spiritual practice because we don't give credit.
True. Well, especially one thing that I feel is the first thing to kind of look at is what kind of filters are you looking at the world through? Because we all have like a different place that we're starting. So some of us have different spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs that we have to contend with and work with. Some people have different like family, like beliefs that are passed down. And I feel like some of that awareness is really important to develop and understand, because otherwise I feel like we can go on a spiritual journey. And if we don't understand some of these kind of like our beginnings, our foundation, we can have a distorted view that I feel like we never see the distortion, or it's really hard to see the distortion. So to me, that feels like none of this happens like in order, but this feels like a kind of a ground zero place to kind of take a look. What do you think about that?
But you're saying something like if you grew up Catholic, that's your foundation.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, that's like where you're starting from. And so Okay. It's like really taking a look at the eyes you're seeing the world through based on that belief, and start there, because that may or may not hold true now that you're an adult or now that you know what you know. You know, we don't know what we don't know when we're kids, and we don't even know what we don't know when we're adults. But usually those belief systems are handed to us, especially if you grew up in them, as if it's the whole story. And it's up to us to, realize maybe not the whole story, and to go on a, to go on a journey for the rest of it.
So it's like it's cherry picking the very best parts of something that was upbeat in regard to your foundation.
Say that one more time.
Maybe it's like cherry picking, taking the best parts of that spiritual foundation that you had, and that you feel is an upbeat situation for you to continue on with, as far as your belief system, and add to.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And to really look at like of those beliefs and those values, do you even still care about them? When you're looking at them, or do they still mean something to you? Like, do they bring up that same meaning that maybe, as a kid you were given, for example, or is it different for you now that you have life experience? And I feel like those things are important to look at.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is exactly what you're saying. It's just the there were some parts in Catholicism, like, You know, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to get grace. Holy cow, what is useful in that part? You know, it's like a robotic feeling of nothing connected. But it's just like, it's what you had to say. So that wasn't really useful, but it did. But you can kind of switch it around to, you know, okay, what's good about this? Some of the rules that they had. Anyway, I see what you're saying, but it's rough.
It is rough. Well, because like you, I grew up in like a evangelical free church. That was my background, and it starts to warp your brain that way, you know, whether you like it or not. I mean, if those are the values you're growing up in, whatever they are, you're going to take them on, you know, one way or the other, and it, for better or for worse. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. That's not what I'm saying here too, just so I'm clear. This is more about looking through the eyes of wisdom and through the eyes of understanding. Once you are an adult, once you have, you know, gone through some life experience, because I feel like from there, you may not look at things the same way anymore, and that's okay. That's like the whole point, like kind of my step one for our show. I don't know what your step one is, Carolyn, but my step one would be looking at this foundation, because I feel like it's important, because if we don't even know the foundation we're building from and we're not conscious of it, once we have the foundation, we're not going to even understand why we have it there. And that will create a bigger problem later on in your spiritual journey. If you don't understand your own foundation, or if you still don't believe currently those foundational beliefs that you know, have in your system, it can create a problem for you later.
I can see your point there. We forgot to add, Jay, we can be taking questions in the room with, if you have an in-depth question.
Let me tell, I'll tell everybody how to find the chat, and you can let everybody know about the phone line.
Okay.
So the chat is happening over on 12radio.com. You click on the chat button. That does take you to a new window. It is a private Facebook group. You have to send over an invitation, but we're really friendly. We'll get you right in. And you'll see our banner there at the top of the page, Metaphysical Conversations with Carolyn and Jay. And in the comment section below is where the conversation's happening. That's where you can join us. And there's also a way that you can call in, and Carolyn is going to let you know how to do that.
And that is on 857-232-0155. The number again is 857-232-0155, and it's extension 870-303. And we're taking calls from only in or chat from 7:15 to 7:35 Pacific today. Also, my one would be, just considering some of the ideas that we can do, it's not really number one, but it's inviting our dreams out and you know, journaling about them, because when you journal or record your dreams and explore the symbolism within you, you gain insights into your subconscious, right? Your spiritual experiences. So it also falls within the sixth chakra, which is the intuition chakra, yellow seeing, third eye. So acknowledging your dreams by writing about them invites more up ahead. And I suppose by sharing them though too, it probably helps also.
I love that. I've had some real success in understanding what I would call the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me through my dreams and being able to decode them. Do you have like a favorite way you like to look at your dreams? Like as far as like how you disseminate the information you're getting from them?
Well, yeah, sometimes I like the other night I had a dream where I dreamt about a billionaire friend, and he was having a really, really outrageously expensive looking party, and he had a piece of my art, and I was trying to talk him into sending it to an event, and I think it's all about that one to me was just about getting, reminding myself to get my art out there in a different direction. because it even went into a specific place that he was supposed to take it to. I don't remember what he said, but that was my dream the other night. So I had to really look at it, because it's like, what does that mean? Asking him to take that particular piece, you know, and well, it means to me that that I need to start to look at putting him into other locations.
Well, and I feel the reason why I asked you that is because I feel part of that process is being able to record your dream, like you said, write it down after having it. But also then what, like, if you do remember, what do you do with it? Like, how do you look at it? Because I think that's like a big question for people. I like to look at it like you, where you're looking at what happened in the dream, but you're looking at it from like a symbolic way. It isn't necessarily like the way that it happened is exactly what it's trying to tell you. It's more like, what does it mean? Like, because it is coming from our subconscious. It is coming from that symbolic place. And so, and also I like to look at it from the standpoint of every character is a part of us, usually in some kind of archetypal form. So like in this case, you that friend showed up that you had, or that benefactor, business partner, potential. So what does that symbolize versus like necessarily meaning you need to go speak to him? It could mean you need to go speak to him, but it also could mean that it's going to speak to someone with a similar kind of archetype, or looking for someone that is like has a similar archetype in the world. So I just share that because that's how I like to look at it from different ways. And I feel like you have your own kind of system too, which I think is important to develop.
And exactly, this is kind of what we do when we're reading, isn't it? Because I often see an image of something like that. Say this billionaire friend of mine could mean, it also could mean perhaps too that don't worry about the money, just go and do whatever it takes to get it out there, because there was plenty of money around, right? He's a billionaire. So yeah, that's exactly right. You can take it with maybe I would need to contact him, or but also too, maybe just take the idea of him and just say I already own it.
Exactly. And that's where dreams can be a little bit tricky, because just like reading our intuition, it isn't always clear. Like it's clear. Let me say it this way. It's clear. It knows what it's trying to communicate to us, but it may not be clear to us as far as the interpretation. So that's the part that, because that takes practice to develop how that works for us, that's where this is important too, because it's another place where you can develop that understanding of these spiritual systems and symbols and how they are working to communicate with you. Like, and really I make it sound like it's some outside system outside of you, but it's inside of you. It's inside of me. It's inside of Carolyn. It's a matter of, how do we understand it? How do we decode it?
Yeah. And that's why sometimes just sharing it with a friend might help too, you know, and, you know, if you use it, you'll deepen it. And it is a spiritual practice. Another one I thought was interesting was we all often say go out to the forest, right? But I found a deeper meaning. It's a Japanese art of forest bathing, they call it. And it's where you connect with nature on a spiritual level and promote overall well-being. It involves immersing yourself into the atmosphere of a forest, right? And it goes beyond a simple woods, but you engage fully in all of your senses. So you are there. And so it's supposed to have various health benefits, including reduced stress, improved mood, and enhanced overall well-being. So it fosters a deep connection with nature and rejuvenating effects. But I think just as a forest walker, you're doing this.
That sounds like amazing. I love being in the forest. I love, like, when I go to Washington and visit my sister, I feel like I'm very much, as much as I'm going to visit family, I'm going there to be in nature. I'm going there to be surrounded by the trees and to really take on that energy, and it is so healing. Like, oh my gosh, especially compared to like the city energy.
Yeah. And we used to be able to say hug a tree, but now you're worried about wood ticks, right? So maybe just leave the tree alone, but feeling it, at least touching its bark, it's just really good vibe. And yes, it does take you away from the city, you know, sounds. And that's what's fabulous about it, Jay.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And hearing the birds and the other animals talking to each other and being able to, like you said, be able to touch the tree, feel the heartbeat, feel the energy, feel the communication. Like the more you do it, the more, at least for me, the forest opens up to you and starts to communicate to you, just like I'm communicating with Carolyn. I mean, without the voice, the out loud voice, but there, the conversation is internal, and there is this back and forth kind of essence where your energy is communicating with the energy of the forest, with the spirit of the forest. And in doing that, it's like we're tuning to the organic frequencies of the earth. The negative ions from the forest are helping to heal our body. I mean, there's so many things that start happening when we're doing that kind of thing. And it's so good for us, and it's so good for our intuition and for our spiritual development.
You're in tune. Another thing too is Community Service Day. So you can volunteer a day with, you know, to kind of help, you know, give yourself the opportunity to connect with like-minded individuals. So you can do something, volunteer with a spiritual group, you know, and really kind of get into the like minds of others with others by doing that.
Go
ahead.
I just want to say one thing about that, because sometimes, you know, volunteering can be hard because we're so inundated with our own stuff, but it can be the thing that can be really helpful, because when we are able to be of service and we're able to offer ourselves like that, not only is it a great energy to be in, but it also, for those of you who are looking for new friends, looking for new dating possibilities, being around like-minded people, and this would be an opportunity to get around like-minded people, it can be an activity where you can open up your circle. And I would venture to say, don't make it about that. Don't go do it for that reason. But if it's a byproduct of that, then that's great, right?
Yeah. So these are just ideas to, you know, not necessarily would you want to be doing the Community Service Day, but these are just ideas that you can give yourself credit for if you're already doing for them as a part of your spiritual practice, and try it, you know, as a spiritual practice. Another thing is visual. You know, you remember to do the vision boards with images and words to represent your aspirations, right? And because it helps to manifest a positive energy. And you want to be able to kind of switch your brain so that you're into more of a plus instead of a minus. So, go ahead.
I want to say hi really quick to some folks that are joining us in the chat. Renee says Carolyn and Jay, and she has some hearts, and she's saying morning. Sending us some good morning love. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn. Yes, thank you, Carolyn. But thank you, Renee. It's great to join you, or for you to join us and be here with us. Apparently, I'm still waking up and I'm getting my words together. Pamela is joining us too. She says, hello and happy Monday, Carolyn and Jay. And Terry Campbell is also joining us. Pamela, it's so great for you to be here with us too. Thank you for getting up early. I know it's not as hard because you're on the East Coast, but it's still early. And we're so grateful that you're with us.
Yeah.
Terry is a psychic advisor. She's joining us, and astrologer. And she says, hi, Carolyn and Jay. Dreams, so fun. If the content too scrambled, I rely on the emotions generated and consider from there. That's another great way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, how does it make you feel? Like, how did the dream, what state of mind, what state of emotions did that dream put you in? Yes, very important clues.
You know, the other thing is to do that a labyrinth walk. Have you ever done a labyrinth walk?
I have, and it's actually kind of cool because for those of us that have a very overactive mind, or can get into overthinking, it can be a weird helpful thing to have that labyrinth to walk through and to be focusing on that, as a way to clear your head and get more present while going through the process.
It symbolizes a journey inward, right? And it promotes self-reflection. And you can also build your own labyrinth, for instance, in your backyard, you know, and if you have a big enough backyard anyway. And you can consider the idea as you're walking around it, maybe the outer circuits of the labyrinth, maybe they symbolize the outer world in everyday life and the beginning of a spiritual journey. And then maybe the inner circuits, maybe they represent a transitional phase, a space for reflection, you know, and deeper introspection. And then you also have the inner circuits, you know, but this doesn't have to mean anything, but the inner circuits could maybe signify aspects of self, spiritual growth, you know, and then you have the center, your point of enlightenment and self-discovery. Oh my God, I just thought of something, right? Exactly. Maybe by the time you've gone through all of those, but it's also the center could maybe be your connection to the divine.
No, I agree. I think that it's awesome to be able to like engage with these different activities in this way and use them to help open us up and to get us to slow down and be more present and to see what just effect they have on us by going through the process and trying it not just one time, but a few different times, like different locations, different settings, and see like, what does it do to your energy? What does it do to your body? How does it affect your emotions? Be the observer. Like, that's like the biggest thing I want to point to in all this is coming back to be the observer, the one that is experiencing all these different activities, the one that is thinking about all these activities, like the knower. Like getting to know the knower inside of you. That's what I feel like is happening when we do stuff like this and when we slow down and get present.
Yeah, really self-reflective. You know, the other thing too, if you're going to build one in the backyard, one of the ideas is to maybe use a hose to kind of, or little markers so you can start to make your what is that called? What are they called? A spiral inward, right? And then you can use all these, you know, rocks or whatever, and put maybe a statue in the center, you know, that you can move toward the center and pass by all of these mile markers, basically.
No, so, I mean, yeah, if you have the room for it to do it in your backyard, that would be pretty cool, actually. That'd be kind of fun to know that you can just go back there and have a walking meditative moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And something you can share with friends, family. It is something that you can bring into the physical world to where it isn't just sitting in a circle and meditating, having quiet time. Not that there's anything wrong with that either. But this gives an activity. And one of the ways I like to look at the labyrinth is similar to what Carolyn was saying. And another way I like to look at it is like, when you're going in, when you go in and you come out, it's like by the time you go in and go out, you're a different person in that journey inward to your journey back out. And
you're acknowledged.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. You're acknowledging it, you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I'm acknowledging that journey. Mm-hmm. And then it seems so simple or. So just like, that's no big deal. But even if you do something like this, where you're standing and you draw an imaginary circle in front of you to the left and you draw an imaginary circle to you to the right, or let me say it this way, you draw a circle around you right now, that's where you are right now. And then you draw an imaginary circle right next to you and you step into it. you can have the intention that when you step into that new circle, you're going to feel a different way.
So that we can add that.
Yeah.
Instead of doing a circle practice, I think that that's a great idea.
So it's like, so as you step out of where you are, you step into a new emotion and practice right. that, a new feeling or a new, even, you know, it can get to like a new dimension, but, but it's like the kind of thing that takes practice and gets you, it's like air. Some of the stuff that Carolyn and I are talking about, like the subtle nuances are like air. So you can notice it if it's windy, but on a still day, you won't see it, feel it, or necessarily taste it, but it's still there. Excuse me. So in the same way, spiritual energy is always there, but you may not feel it. You may not sense it. These are ways for you to do that, for you to have an experience.
Right on. You know, you can also, too, connect with the cosmos, the cosmic energy, and you can do that by just having a moonlight reflection. You know, spend a quiet evening under the moonlight and contemplate your spiritual journey, and just connect with the stars above or the rainy night.
Exactly. But, I love that. I love getting outside and seeing, like, there's nothing like, especially for us city people, where we only might be able to see Venus on a day, or the full moon, or like the big planets, like Jupiter. But then if you like go like to the desert from where I'm at, and then it's like all of a sudden it's almost like the whole sky was dark and now it's all lit up. And there is something to feeling the hug of the cosmos when you can see all the stars, you know, outside the light pollution, and when you can really see up there. The impact that can have on us is pretty profound.
Yeah, it reminds you of where you are in the universe. I like that description that you just gave. You know, another thing is daily affirmations. You know, we forget to do that. So you might want to develop a set of positive affirmations to recite daily, and that will help you to reinforce your spiritual beliefs and cultivate, you know, a resilient mindset, because you're looking at them every day to remind yourself of what you're all about, and what you're really reinforcing. So daily affirmations, what do you think?
They are very powerful, and I think important, especially if you have a very strong mind and it isn't necessarily programmed to go in the direction and to think in the direction you would like to think. Those affirmations can be really helpful in doing the day in and day out reprogramming to change your thoughts and to change the way you see the world. And I don't mean that from some people can look at it as manipulation, but I like to see it as undoing the manipulation. Like we've been highly manipulated, in as a society, just the norms and the general information, the basic kind of information we're given, there's so much more to the story if we really dig, and that goes with everything is like that, and so it's very easy for us because of that to make snap judgments, to, you know, think that we know how things work and to feel very solid in that. But honestly, most of the world is upside down. And most of like the way the spiritual energies are, from how we were taught to how we actually experience them, that's also upside down for a lot of us, not everybody, but for many. So that's why I feel like it's so important to look at this from a multifaceted perspective. And to look at this too, where this is a journey, you know, just like you didn't get here and, you know, to this conversation in 5 minutes from living your life. You got here from living your whole life, and your whole life has led you here this morning with us. And I'm so grateful for that. But in the same way, it's the kind of thing that it's the stuff that we learn over time that is, you know, usually the most valuable, the most important.
Okay. So another one idea is a candlelight meditation, right? And that incorporates, you know, when you incorporate the fire, the candle, into your meditation practice, you're focusing on the gentle flicker, and it will help you to delve into a deeper spiritual experience.
What do you think of dealing, like, working with elementals? Does that, do you feel,
how does that feel to you
when you're working with the elementals?
I used to always call in the four directions, and it's been a while since I've really done that. When I'm feeling extra needing of getting in contact with the other levels, you call in the East, spiritual, you call in the East spirit. Oh my God. East spiritual, and I'm not going to feel it. The spirit of, wisdom. No, that's what I'm with. Oh my God. Now I can't even remember. East, it's been a while since I've used it. West, spirit of looking within, spirit of the North, spirit of wisdom and creativity, East, spirit of wisdom and creativity, South, spirit of matters of the heart, West, spirit of looking within, and North, God, Goddess, all that is, basically, right? I think that's right in that order. but yeah, you can use all the different directions, all of the different elements. And each direction, I think each direction also signifies an element, like you're talking about too. But do you know what those are?
Yes, I do. And I'm actually looking them up so I can make sure that I don't. Okay, so we have, let me see if I can decode this right.
East, spirit of illumination and enlightenment. That's what that was. Spirit of the South, spirit of,
and that's like the sun,
and creativity. Yep. Go ahead.
It's because I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing it right, and so I'm looking at So East is air, South is earth, West is water, North is fire. So East and air represents the sword, protection, focus, clarity, sharp precision, the mind, the power of the sun. The South and the earth represents knowledge, strength, wisdom of the elders, law, and personal grounding. The West and water represents the heart at its core, emotions, intuition, spirituality, dreaming, and the subconscious. And North and the fire represents sexuality, passion, birth, transformation, fertility, change, intensity, the imagination, and fairy realm.
So what you could do too is you could map out a circle and get all of those words onto the circle. And then if you're having an issue in some particular area, you can call into the East and if that's where the situation lies that you need to work on. So it's just been a long time since I've used it. So, another thing is getting into a workshop, maybe on intuition or tarot or psychic, to help you with, advancing yourself a little bit more and reading about it.
Because there's the nuance I want to capture here is there's the intellectual part of what like learning anything that we learn that's new, and then there's the essence, and when we understand it, when we can get underneath it and really understand it, then there's what that feels like, and then there's what it make like when we make it our own, when we apply that spiritual knowledge and wisdom and we make it our own, we apply that knowledge, application is key. I feel like those are different steps in the process that we're talking about here, to actualizing more of our spiritual qualities in our life.
Yeah, and as you said at the beginning of the at the bottom of the program.
I love that. The bottom of the program.
isn't it? Would be the bottom of the program because it was the beginning. Anyway, you were saying the foundation is important to remember for your spiritual growth. And it's just like when I used to call in the four directions, it is part of my foundation, but I found other ways to delve into some of these other practices and kind of forgot about it, really. So, you know, you can always bring it back in or back around if you realize that, this one's really helping your mind. So.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And like, just as an example, is the elements and how they are integrated in you after calling them in and working them with them for so long, it becomes a part of you. That happens. Like, just for everybody knows, like, sometimes whatever we do that used to be like a long, ceremonial introduction, may be condensed after a while because you have gotten to a certain level of acuity, or just developed a certain amount of understanding of whatever it is you've been working with and working on. And so you don't have to do it the same way. Like, your spiritual practice will evolve. Like, it's never going to stay in one place, even with these new tools.
Yeah. So there's just a ton of different ways you can really consider a spiritual practice if you really look at it. And if it's creating some time in your mind to really delve into in deeper, in some way. Another possibility would be a spiritual book club. And if there's not one around you, maybe make one. You can do that through maybe a meetup group or something like that. So, and that's how you maybe get to your people. And, and I know that some of you, some clients right now that I've been talking with have wanting to start a spiritual practice to teach and that kind of thing. And so, right on, get out there and do it and just start something so you can find your people.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
Pamela says, I do understand the power of being in the forest, even if you can only get there in your head at times. Yes.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
That ever true.
And yeah. I have to say, when I was working in my corporate job, there were times where I'd go into the bathroom, and the bathroom would turn into a beautiful forest or a beautiful park that I could transport myself to.
Yep. Yeah. But to grab you and ground you, that's a good idea, Jay.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for that, Pamela, because it's true. Like, sometimes we can't always be in the forest, or sometimes, like right now in Northern California, I'm glad you're not digging out of any snow, Carolyn, but I know there must be snow all around you. I've been hearing about it.
Yeah,
you're up in the mountains, you're inundated.
Well, up to 12 feet, I guess. It's almost covering the houses, and the cars are covered. Really, it looks like. I hope people have their food stock in order to live in the Sierras right now, because it looks pretty bad. And I guess it goes all the way to Colorado. So, pretty wild. And another storm supposed to be following right behind this, deep pile up. Another thing to do, too, is a digital detox day, which means, disconnect from the technology. It's so important to just get away from it every now and then. Go to the grocery store without your phone. It's amazing.
It's so true. Hard as it might be to do that, I feel it's important to do that every now and again, because it's true. We can get too connected and obsessed with needing our phone all the time. And there is something to that whole idea of letting it stay home sometimes, and that we're going to be okay. We're going to be safe. And let's say, God forbid, something does happen. Whatever we used to do when we didn't have a phone, we'll figure it out. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an experience we get to give ourselves.
We can kind of back. But that silent retreats too kind of go along with that, dedicate a day or a weekend, to silence. And,
totally.
and it really fosters your inner reflection. It heightens your awareness.
It does. I've told everybody here, I've done that 10-day silent retreat. Well, it's not a retreat. It's a 10-day silent meditation for the Vipassana Center in California. And I did it in Central California in the mountains. And it's 10 days. And 10 days of unplugging from your phone, 10 days from not talking, 10 days no reading, no body language. You're just in basically constant meditation or sleeping. And it kind of makes you crazy, I'm not gonna lie, at first, but it also then, like Carolyn said, provides this space and place to clear all that out. And then you realize you get to have this whole other kind of communication with yourself, and you realize that there's all these other things going on because you're not distracted with what day it is, or what time it is. Yeah.
What was that one kind of retreat called where you it was like an Indian tradition where you go out with no phone, no anything in the woods, and then you would go on your own from the group. And then you'd come back in on like the third day or something. What were those called? What were those retreats called?
I think those
are
vision quests. Like, is that a vision quest?
I had a friend that went on a vision quest, and she called me a few days later, and I said, "How was your vision quest?" And she goes, "Oh, it was great. I walked to a hotel and went to the bar."
Well, I wonder what her visions were like.
I just find that such, I was just laughing. Oh my God, I'll never forget that. So, the next thing you can do is a little expressive art, self therapy. And you can get that, maybe do a blindfold drawing or an I feel drawing, which is where you don't lift your pencil for a couple of minutes and just tune in on how you're feeling and let the pencil go. And then stand up and use all of your entire body to express this feeling that you're looking on, using your hands and your facial expressions and movements and even your voice to express the mood of what you've drawn.
I like that. I want to try that.
Yeah. And then there's color flow painting where you just start with a few colors and then just let your intuition guide you on what colors to add to that, so that you kind of create some shapes as you're painting freely, and just let it be. Don't have an outcome in mind.
Hmm. I love that. I love both of those.
Yeah,
for our brains and our bodies, because we're a mind-body spirit complex. It's important to look at different activities that will activate multiple parts of us or different parts of us, because that's part of the process too of getting to know who we are, and I can say that as a people pleaser, a former people pleaser, I've had to use all these techniques that we're talking about here to learn who I am again, because I had gone so far down the people pleasing road of pleasing everyone that I got into that place where I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what my own preferences were. I didn't really know what my own opinion was because I had deferred so much to everyone else and whatever they cared about, because I thought that was important and I thought that's what I needed to do. And so I share that as if you are me and you have that issue, you can use all these different tools as a way to learn how to get to know yourself, to know what you like, to know what you don't like. Those things are just as important to know in the journey. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a journey. It takes time. And all of these are different methods and ways to do that. They're free. They're free, and you can get people involved, of course. If you need help, you can call Carolyn and I at 1-2-LISTEN. You can also get your friends involved. You can keep people accountable. You can make it a group thing. I mean, there's so many ways you can, kind of take this information and run with it for your own situation. But I just want to express like the value it's had in my own life.
Nice. Okay. So another idea was mindful breathing, and that would be, and it reminds me of this, oh my God, this incredible guy. He's a biochemistry scientist and also is a neurosurgeon. And I fell upon him on YouTube and I got addicted. He suggests that you breathe through your nose because it creates this gas molecule in our body called nitric oxide, and as we get older our production of this gas lessens, and it's nitric oxide is useful for dilating the blood vessels, promoting better blood flow, and supporting various physiological functions. So I would really recommend you get in and listen to this guy because he's amazing
What's his name again?
Dr. Nathan Bryan, I had to listen to one of his podcasts 4 times, the same one, before I started searching because every word is really important. He talks about how the body functions really, and how this particular nitric oxide, which he says was discovered as being a hormone, and how it, you know, even to getting hard, you know, having your penis get hard and if that's a good sign that your nitric oxide is low in your body. Listen to him because it has to do with, apparently it's like the basis of all problems as you get older, your physiological problems. So I would really tend to listen, but that makes me think too, maybe we should do some mindful breathing for a minute or two. Maybe take a few deep breaths together.
Yeah, I love that. And I just was saying before we do that, I've just posted his website in the comments. So if you want to take a look, you can do some more research. I put his information in the comments.
Yes, and I think his website is, let me see, I gotta get it because I love this guy.
DrNathanBryan.com.
Yeah, NathanSBryan.com or something like that, isn't it?
Let's see. Let me go back to the website. I have it as the way it just shows on mine is just DrNathanSBryan.com.
And his products are on 101.com, 101.com or 101. I guess it's, oh God, what did he say? He says, sometimes we will mistake the letter O for a zero and it will take you to the wrong side. So 101.
Got it.
Yeah. 101.com. So it's, I guess it's the basics, like 101. You always said that, but we need to say 101. Anyway, way too much. So we do a little breathing exercise through our nose.
Do it.
All right. So I'm not going to say anything. We'll just do it 3 times. A deep breath.
Okay. One more big one, everyone.
Through your nose.
Now, I'm gonna have a question. Are you doing your inhale and exhale through your nose, or inhale through your nose, exhale out your?
There's something about the mouth also having some sort of necessary molecules in it, and you want, when you actually swallow, sometimes the also creates the nitric oxide. So you want to keep everything kind of there through this breathing process. Anyway, listen to it 4 times. It took me on an hour long podcast to really get this guy. So it's and then just beginning to get him, just beginning to understand the whole process of the body. He's incredibly well. I mean, he just speaks so well, and it's just, he makes it easy to follow, but every word, unfortunately, is just way too deep. Anyway, let's see. So talk with me or Jay. Do you want to end this, or do you have anything else to say, Jay?
No, this is a great time to let everybody know where they can find us, and to also thank everybody for tuning in and joining us today. It's been great to be here with you this morning.
Okay. So, so find Jay or me on for a private reading at Once You Listen. And I'm mostly on from 6 until 4 p.m. And Jay, when are you on your radio also?
On the radio, I'm on Wednesdays for my show, The Psychic Playground, at 4 p.m. Pacific. And then I join my partner, Alan, for a relationship show that is at 8 p.m. Pacific, Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. And then I team up with Raven for an interview show on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, where we interview the fun and amazing personalities here at 1-2. So please check that out. And you can find me daily for one-on-one support in the afternoons and the evenings, most days, Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays in the morning. And you can do this for Carolyn and I or any of the advisors. Click on the schedule an appointment button if you are looking for us, but you don't see us online. That lets us know right away that you're looking for us.
Yes. So Mark Hudson is up next, and Christina LaFrance and Lori Love just after Mark. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, we will. I can't believe it. Where does the time go, Carolyn? Where does the time go? That's what I want to know.
It's like, I mean, we blinked. Yeah.
Well, thank you, right, everybody. And it's been great to be here with you, Carolyn. I hope you have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
I'll see you next week. We'll be back, all everyone. Right. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.